Welcome back, everybody. Our special guest is Debbie Japong. She is the author of a new Christian novel called The Defilers. And Debbie was telling us the story of, at least mentioning, her book launch. 100 people came, and amongst those people, Scott Reed, one of the truly interesting politicians I've ever met, and I think a fine person.
Exactly.
Who will never be undone by it, the way I've seen other charismatic people become undone by being around it. This is a guy I would personally watch. I trust this man.
Yes. He's brilliant.
Jason Kenney showed up for your book launch. And folks, Stockwell Day not only showed up for the book launch, he was actually signing copies of the book because people were so amazed that he was there at the book launch.
Yes.
So I hope you don't share the royalties with him.
No.
Stockwell, if you're listening, keep your hands off Debbie's royalties.
No, I thought it was really kind of charming in a way that there were people that were so excited that he was there. And it was a real surprise for me to see him there, and I was delighted. I don't know whether he's read the book or not, whatever, but I used to work for him, so I think this was just a sign of just support for, Debbie, a friend,
I'll tell you what, to get a federal cabinet minister to come to your book launch under any circumstances is a pretty hard trick to pull off, because usually they don't have time to do interviews with guys like me, Stockwell. But the fact that he showed up, I think, is a sign of respect. That's what I think.
I was delighted. And there were also clergy from a range of denominations. Dr. Alan Churchill, who is a host on CFRA, he has a program on Sunday mornings. He's the RCMP chaplain, a former Mountie. He was chair of the Billy Graham mission here in Ottawa in 1998. He endorsed the book. He was there with his wife. The pastor of the Baptist church where I used to attend, and I still have deep ties, Kanata Baptist, Doug Ward, he was my MC because he had followed the genesis of this book. And he talked about how...
That's Master of Christianity, folks.
Yes.
MC.
About how my faith journey shows up in the book. Even though the story about Linda is not autobiographical, as a writer you do take things. And so Linda's lack of faith and then her finding faith mirrors my journey, even though the details are different.
Now, we haven't got you saved. We've got you reading a book, Hey God.
Right.
The CFRA News had the audacity to intervene. I'm going to come back now and ask you to pick up the story. When you're reading that book, you're in a place that's kind of creepily alive with evil. What happened?
Okay, so I'm
something supernatural.
Reading this book, and it lays out the gospel about how we are all sinners. But God loves us. He has a plan for our life. And if we accept Jesus and we ask him, we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, and we ask him to come into our hearts. And so I'm like, yes, 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 I accept Jesus. I believe in him. All of this because I was desperate. I was terrified. And the evil was just swelling around me. But it still kept on doing that. I kept on reading.
Words just kept bouncing off the ceiling.
Exactly.
Because it was fear. You were like a drowning person.
Yep.
Flailing at the water and grabbing at anything to keep you from drowning, but you were not yet transformed.
Yes. And I was also afraid that reading that book would turn into something horrible like the TV had done or the cigarette, because everything that I had turned to for comfort had turned into something hideous. But then I kept reading, and all of a sudden I came to a place in the book that said, be still and know that I am God. And it was like something, the words really just came alive. And so I had to choose to do it. It was like to stop trying to save myself from this evil. God is God. He will do it. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, to stop struggling to save myself. And so I did. I let go. And then it was as if I was being held in the palm of an invisible hand. The presence was a little stern. It was kind of like, look what mess you got yourself into this time. But the evil vanished. It was gone. It was gone. And I did a 180 turn then. Now, when you're minus 500, it takes a while for you to become normal. But my life just took a different course. And by the time Frank came to pick me up, as he had promised that next morning, I was ready to go knock on doors and tell people about Jesus. Now, I've calmed down since. In some ways, I'm not as, you know, I mean, new converts are often kind of pushy. But it has been just an amazing journey ever since. And I've seen so much evidence of God's saving power and grace since then, not only in my life, but in other people's lives.
So you had the supernatural intervention, because it sounds exactly like that. It sounds like something supernatural happened to you that night.
Yes.
Some people, given the story you've told, would say, was this just the pleasant end of a bad trip? And obviously the answer to that has to be no, because this continued. That feeling of being put into a large hand, or resting in a large hand, be still, know that I am God, that sense of deliverance that you had, does that stay with you the same way as it was that day, or has it become a different affirmation of faith?
Well, I think that as you do a journey of faith, you learn to know that your feelings are going to fluctuate, mm-hmm. And that there are going to be times of dryness and so on. But as I've grown in the faith, I do most of the time have a constant sense of God's presence and peace. And even when things are difficult, I know he's real. And whereas it used to be, when I first started out in the faith, because I was at minus 500, the times of knowing God's closeness were intermittent. And I think that for those people who want to be religious, it really is important to get plugged into a church community, to learn how to pray and to read the Bible, to have fellowship with other Christians, because everything in your life is going to conspire to keep you away from that peace and that joy. Because it's like we are living in an environment that is a macrocosm of the microcosm of that room, where everything was trying to distract me, frighten me, make me go crazy, make me turn to other things for comfort. Your life is going to be like that too. It's very countercultural to find the peace of God. And it's worth, as they say, as it says in the scriptures, it's that pearl of great price that you sell everything that you have in order to find.
Deborah Jepong has been our guest. Very interesting couple of hours that we've been spending here. And especially if you have heard the story of the conversion and some of the analysis, the social analysis, I wouldn't disagree with you. Yeats said, the time would come when the best would lack all conviction and the worst would be full of passionate intensity. I would say that that prediction out of the Second Coming is his great poem. The time is upon us, I would say. You've gone, according to your own story, from doing a few lines to writing quite a few lines, which is a conversion in itself of monumental proportions. But other people out there have questions of you in terms of your faith journey and some of the articles of your belief. We're going to take a call from one of those people who has a question for Debbie, from Jack on line two. Welcome to the program, Jack.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi there.
Hi, I find, Deborah, your book is fascinating. I got to get a copy of it.
Well, you can find it at Salem Storehouse. It's also at Prime Crime Books in the Glebe. It should be available at Chapters any day now, or via Amazon. And I think you can also find it at Blessings Christian Marketplace.
Great. I know what you're talking about because I'm in AA and, you know, and I'm in NA also, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's a spiritual journey, Jack.
Sure.
Yes.
I just wanted to know, I just wanted to ask you two brief questions, if I could say them quickly. What do you consider hell, and do you believe in that? And what do you what do you feel about this? You know, I think it's a terrible injustice to humanity. The Canadian troops going to Afghanistan and the war that Mr. Bush, the president, is waging and losing many people in Iraq.
Well, let me answer the first question.
Sure.
I don't really want to get into the second one because that's a whole other thing. Do I believe in hell? Yes, I believe in hell. And I believe that hell, in some mysterious way, is a state of mind. It is our love of self and hatred of all others. It's the sick kind of love of self, where that selfish and self-involved. And heaven is a love of God and a love of our neighbor as ourselves. And I don't think that God sends anybody to hell. He wants everybody to be with him. But people reject what's good. Look what people did to Jesus Christ when he was on earth. They crucified him. And it's when I go to church around Easter time and we read out loud the passion narratives from the Bible, and the congregation always plays the part saying, "Crucify him. Barabbas, we want Barabbas." And I think if Jesus were back here, we would do the same things. And we're all guilty. We're all, we all fall short. All of us don't want to have that light in our lives.
Jack, I want to ask you quickly before we take a break. Do you believe in hell?
I'm not really. I'm a Roman Catholic, and I do believe in God, and I pray every night. I'm not really aware of the total real truth about hell. I don't myself. My instincts tell me there's no hell. I think hell is what you make your life, like what your guest said. I think that's what it is. Like, I went through hell myself through. You know, turning to the bottle and
mm-hmm.
Well, as the country song says, if you're going through hell, keep going. Step on the accelerator, get out of there.
And you can look at so many things. I mean, one of the things that the novel touches on is sexual abuse, and trafficking.
Well, I know a lot about that
of
too.
Children and
you know a lot about sexual abuse?
I was sexually abused by some brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, and I mean
I have a hard time forgiving.
Yes. Well, you know, sometimes you need supernatural help to be able to forgive.
How would I do that?
I think if you tell God that you want to be able to forgive, he will respect your will, and he will remove those feelings.
That's a tough call. When I was just a kid, I was abused by a lot of brothers in the Roman Catholic Church. And, you know, that's a tough call.
It is.
It's hard to forgive.
It is, but you know
especially
what?
Especially when you've been, violated.
And this was the whole thing that Linda, the character in the novel, goes through. It's very hard for her to forgive as well.
Right.
But if you say, okay, God, I just choose to do this because it's what you want me to do, but I can't do it myself. Would you please do it for me? He will. He'll take away all of those feelings and you'll be free.
Jack, we got to run, but I appreciate greatly your call. I know how difficult it was to make.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jack. We're going to take a brief break, and then we're going to come back and wrap up this program with Debbie Japong. Of course, the subject that it raises is never wrapped up, and I hope you continue to think about it. All too frequently, we treat the news like the undifferentiated items on a grocery list. We hardly ever think about life. And as Socrates said, the unexamined life is hardly worth living. We'll be right back. We are obviously... with Debbie Japong for most of this show today on her new book, The Defilers. It is a prize-winning book. It's a first effort. But like a lot of successful things, it's an overnight success that took 10 years. I want to congratulate you on this book and on the spiritual journey that it took to complete this task. It is one thing to say you're going to write something. I know from personal experience, a lot of people do their best writing in the air, and it never gets... between the covers of a book, and you deserve a lot of credit for that. So now I'm going to ask you the next question. It is said that a writer can never stop writing. There's no such thing as a writer who retires. Hemingway once made the observation that he wasn't allowed a retirement. He had to produce yet an even bigger and better book than the last one, and that's why writers eventually have no peace in their lives, even if they have all the benefits of the soul-searching. You have written a sequel, as I understand it, to The Defilers. It's a blue whale, and you have to edit it. are you going to follow this book up with the sequels, or do you have another project on the cooker?
Well, I do have a sequel which had a baby, so it's now a trilogy, if you include this book, that will pick up these same characters, but from the male Mountie's point of view, which is tricky for me to try to get the male voice right and point of view, and it also needs a lot of work.
Let me make a quick suggestion of a literary nature.
Yes.
Read Lawrence Durrell's Alexandrian Quartet for the ultimate book of taking the same story from the perspective of four different people, done brilliantly.
I think I read that years ago, but it might be a good time to refresh my memory on that.
Debbie, a great pleasure to have you on the program. I'm sorry that I missed your book lunch. As I said to you, I got the invitation the day that it was happening, and I was at home in Nova Scotia, so I was not able to attend. But you should be proud of yourself. I am sure that a lot of the people listening today are going to go out and get this book. And I hope that it also balances the scales for a lot of people out there who feel like people with strong religious views or firm religious faith get the short shrift in the media. That there is some sort of a taint that comes from people saying, well, you think that because you're a Christian. In my opinion is that never has there been a time in our history when it was more important to have values. And I think one of the greatest problems we have is that you got to do better for people than what Madison Avenue is pushing on our kids today as something worth living for. What is worth living for is what Faulkner called the universal verities of the human heart. I think you're in touch with that message, and I'm very happy that you came on the show today.
Thank you so much, Michael. It was a pleasure to be here.
You take care. That is the program for today. I want to thank you all for listening. And those of you who called, thank you very much. Stay tuned for the big newscast at the top of the hour. Once again, thanks for listening and have a great afternoon, everybody.